Once a fortnight, we have Myra here from the CAB, Spain, Citizen Advice Bureau Spain, and today is no exception. Good morning, Myra.
Good morning, all.
Now, for those who are unfamiliar with the CAB, they are a voluntary organisation. They have a website with loads of fantastic information on it, but they also have a Facebook page in which it's really kind of like light the blue touch paper and stand back and try and be a referee, I guess, most of the time, isn't it, Myra, for you and your colleagues?
It is for the admins, yeah, it is. Yeah. It's not... Because it's controlled, not as bad as some groups, so because they control it.
Yeah.
That does upsets people as well, but you have to have some sort of control.
People get upset about the strangest things when they can be a keyboard warrior, and there was a particularly wonderful post the CAB posted a heading which said, "Countdown, just over 10 months and UK nationals will no longer be EU citizens. Are we prepared?" Now, that was inflammatory enough in itself, but what upset a couple of people most of all was that you put that on a coloured background. How dare you, Myra?
I know, somebody said, devils
How
we are.
How dare you do that?
This is the way, of course, that we try and attract attention. It's a notice. It's a notice. Exactly. It wasn't red either.
Oh, I wish my life was so simple that's all I had to worry about, Myra. Let me put it that way. Now, we thought we'd do this today. It's a bit of an inflammatory one because I think you've shut down the comments on this post now because it went on and on and on and on. But basically, you've got kind of two camps, as you would expect. So let me just read it out again. "Countdown, just over 10 months and UK nationals will no longer be EU citizens. Are we prepared?" If you want to take part, 952-78-4000 is the number. You can email studio@tre.radio, or you can now WhatsApp us. So if you have a phone with WhatsApp on it, and if you want to immediately get involved, then it's Spain. So +34 645 99 67 95. That's 645 99 67 95. And WhatsApp being what it is, very instant. So I can see your messages immediately. And we can put those to Myra if you wish. So participate if you want to. If you don't, sit and listen. So Brexit, for a start, just over 10 months. Blimey. That crept up, didn't it?
Well, I think what's confusing, and it came up with an interview I had somewhere else, was the fact that a lot of us are being told, and we know that there's a transition period.
Yeah.
So we've all thought, because we can come in and do residency or apply for residency as EU citizens, that we still would be. But of course, it's what I suspected, what I put in my last paper about the draft agreement, that it was highly likely we would lose our EU citizenship on that date, the withdrawal date.
Yep.
And of course, a lawyer looked at me and said, "Well, of course you will, because it's a withdrawal date." So that's one thing, even though we have the... Now, when we posted that, it wasn't supposed to be inflammatory.
No.
It's certainly not about leaving or remaining. It's about being prepared for all eventualities. And what we're going to talk about will help people whether we have a Brexit or not, in case something odd happens and the government decides not to leave.
Well, anything can happen. Anything can happen. Now, the thing, are we prepared? Some people attacked you on the basis that you're basically, as far as they were concerned, you couldn't make any statements that were actually fact, and you were just looking in a crystal ball the same as anybody else. But you've done a lot of work on this, and you've been on the ball on this.
Yes, I think from that first morning, I think you called me up
yeah.
the day after the referendum,
yeah.
Been researching and looking at the laws and looking at any possible law that will help those post-Brexit as well who find themselves in difficulty. And it would be really irresponsible of us as Citizens Advice Bureau in Spain if we were not prepared.
Yeah.
So all the information we give doesn't come from any newspapers or any radios.
They're not personal points of view.
Not personal points of view.
No.
They come from the draft agreements. And, of course, the last one we discussed on March 19 made it quite clear that the only changes there could be on citizens' rights, it was all agreed, could be some technical legal revisions. And technical legal revisions is really a way of saying that you could change a few little wording or paragraphs or things, but basically that's it. So if we exit next year, that is what we've got.
So you're basically saying they've done, as far as you're concerned, they've done that bit, and there'll only be minor changes. They're not going to go back and revisit the whole thing and change their mind completely.
No, it was the whole idea of getting citizens' rights out of the way so they could move on to Ireland and then to trade deals. So they've had what they consider to be one stumbling block. Yep. I do feel let down on the agreement, very much so. Because of what it states, and it's there for everybody to see, not only my interpretation, my paper about it, but the agreement is there for public. A lot of people are saying, we don't know anything, but maybe they're not reading these, they're not following the negotiations.
Let's talk about that, Ben. We have mentioned it on the show before, this agreement that's been done already. What does it actually mean? What does it say that is so worrying as far as you're concerned?
Well, it starts off with good intentions, and it says that the withdrawal agreement is in reference to EU citizens in the UK and UK nationals living in the EU 27 states, and it's UK and Northern Ireland.
Yep.
Discussing this, and it starts off with a chapter. Well, it doesn't. Chapter 2 gives us a citizen's right, which is agreed in principle, and at negotiators' level, and will only be, as I said, subject to technical legal revisions.
Yeah.
And what it says is, it gives us the right to reside. All those of us who are here. Are legally residents, we have the right to reside. The permanent residents, the ones that are not, have the right to fulfill their years to become a permanent resident. So that sounded very good. Except that it then talks about permanent residency. It talks about issuance of documents.
Yes.
And that's where the problem comes up.
Because so the option is there for Spain to give us residents a new residency status, basically.
Which that's sort of makes sense. If we're not going to be EU citizens, why would we be still be with that residency status that says we are? Why?
And as are the UK going to do for EU citizens?
Yes, they've started on their settled status. But the reason, as we've said before many times, the UK did not abide by this European directives known FOM, freedom of movement.
Yeah.
And so therefore they've got to do something, whereas Spain did, and Spain has given us all our documentation. So one would hope that all they would do after the 6 months after transition period is to just update it, give us a different one.
Yeah.
But no. The option is there for us to have to almost reapply, and that's what worries me. In fact, we will get this new certificate. We will. We've got the right to stay as long as we can prove ongoing residency. And it's the ongoing residency that's the worrying bit. Because, you know, a lot of people say, well, I'm all right. You know, I've got this and that. A lot of, I think we've said before, resources. It's going to be a way of clearing out. It's almost going to be like economic cleansing. So all those that are not residents should really take note. Unless anything magical happens or magical or a miracle and things change and Article 50 is thrown out the window, but it's already been signed.
Yeah, I guess there's a lot of people who it's very difficult to follow what's going on because it seems to always change by the moment. And it's quite scary to be sitting here and having spent a lot of your life here and you're part of the fabric of the community and all the rest of it. And you've got a house here and you've had children here. And you suddenly hear, oh, hang on a minute, this all could change. And you're not sure how it's going to change. And then, of course, you get the, I'm not making in any way a claim that they're similar, but you get the Windrush situation in the UK where people who were settled for years, you know, 30, 40, 50 years have suddenly been turfed out. And I guess it gets the old brain cells thinking, blimey, that could be us. What are we going to do?
Well, it's what you say about people being scared is so true. I hadn't realised how many people were scared. And it's not because anybody said anything or scaremongered or anything. It's because they are worried because there's going to be changes.
Yeah.
You do get people that say, no, there's going to be no change. I mean, well, sounds rather odd. But
Good luck with the sand and the ostrich head.
Yeah. You won't remember because you do so many interviews, but on the 24th of June in 2016, one of the things I said with you was what concerned me were the Spanish administrative officers, how they were going to look at this.
Yeah.
But we've already had reactions. We've already had people not being able to update their certificate just to say permanent because they've been told wait because of Brexit.
Right.
In other words, don't bother doing that because
it'll all change.
There's talks going on. Things are, there's got to be some change, and that's why we try to post. Are we prepared? And that's all we're trying to encourage people, not us, but the consular. Besides the fact that maybe they don't have the knowledge I have, I'm sorry. They are telling people to become prepared, to be prepared.
I'd be interested to hear from anybody who is prepared to come on the phone and talk about it, 952-78-4000, that actually believes that the chances are that you're going to get kicked out of Spain and you've got no clue what to do about it. Because I've met people who think exactly that.
Yes, even
they
on
think
our group.
Exactly
yes,
that.
And it's not like that.
No.
But it's not like that. But the option is there to do so with people now who do not have residency and not legal here.
Now, we've talked about this before, about the residency thing, and let's make this clear again, because this is quite interesting that, you know, a residency means you have to prove certain criteria are in place for you to become a resident. And if let's park that thought, because we do have a caller, so let's take this caller. Good morning, you're live on TRE. Who's that?
Oh, good morning, it's Tony speaking.
Hello, Tony, what can we do you for?
What happens if you're married to a Spaniard?
Myra.
Okay, what happens if you're married to a Spaniard? You see, it's not really about being married to a Spaniard. You're still a EU... you're still going to lose your EU citizenship status.
Yes, of course.
So, being married to a Spaniard, it helps you if you want to take Spanish nationality.
We can't, because I don't speak Spanish.
Yeah, well,
oh,
yeah.
Bless. I don't think you're... You know, I don't think most people here settled. If you're legal, you've got your residency, you would just have to go through... Possibly have to go... jump through a few hoops again to prove that you have the right for ongoing residency. I can't see any advantages to being married, unfortunately, to one of our locals.
They could throw me out and leave my partner.
Wow.
I can't see why they would throw you out. And if you want to contact us it's not going to happen like that at all. You're legally here. You know, it's just like UK is also going to ask EU citizens who are not legal to leave.
Yeah,
and Spain will have the right to as well.
Retired as well.
You're fine. You're fine. Most people are going to be fine. And so we do have a sort of checklist on how everybody should be prepared, but I'm sure that you are.
All right, Tony, thank you very much for your call. Appreciate it. Another caller now. You're live on TRE. Good morning. Who's that?
Oh, good morning. Sorry, I've heard you do this before.
Not a problem.
I've been here 30 years, and I've been paying my tax. In actual fact, I've just... paid my tax. Am I relatively safe here?
Are you a legal resident?
Yes.
Yeah, if you're a legal resident, your taxes don't actually come into it, but obviously it helps. And I'm gonna go through a few points. So if you'd like to listen,
I'll listen to you on the radio.
Okay? Yeah, thank you for your call. We'll run through that. So that's an interesting one, actually, because that's that whole thing about paying tax here, which of course you don't have to be resident to pay tax. So that the two are not intrinsically linked, are they?
We've got somebody who came on and said they'd been here 30 years, no residency, pay their tax, everything. They've no intention of applying for residency, and that's their prerogative, because they've been all right up to now.
Yeah. So you said you were going to run through a few things. Let's do that. It's a kind of checklist that you mentioned there.
The obvious one is residency.
Okay. Now, this is not fiscal residency. This is a document to say that you are
residing here. Basically, it says that you're registered in the Register for European Community.
And this is not Padrón, and this is not NIE.
No. This is residency, but it does include other things.
Yeah.
If you haven't taken out, applied for residency, if you haven't got it, apply, please. That's
first
thing. If you can, come to us if you think you have problems. We've just done a first ever on the Convenio Especial, getting people residency after getting the paid international health system.
Really?
Yes.
How interesting.
And then today we've been thanked on two. One from a member from Hacienda, the tax office.
You were thanked by Hacienda?
Yes. a chap posted. They thanked us for a PDF that somebody took into them on filling in their pension in the Casillas and own the little box. And one of our admin was asked this morning if she had a... she's not an admin, actually. It's Rochelle. She's a senior advisor. Mm-hmm. And she's been at the tax office this morning for herself. And they asked her, would she be willing to go and spend a couple of hours every week? Which
hilarious.
It's great. It's nice when we can help the administration to understand when they're not sort of get on their high horses and say, no, that's wrong. It's lovely when we can help. And in fact, I held a clinic last Wednesday and a lady being helped by a town hall was given slightly incorrect information about the form she should fill in. So I will meet with that person and make sure that she picks up, because sometimes, because this lady from the town hall thought that this non-EU, being married to EU, would use an EX18. And of course it's not, it's an EX19. As simple as that, but she'd have wasted
her
mistake.
Trip.
Yeah, simple mistakes.
Yeah, okay, another caller. Good morning, you're live on TRE. Hello.
Good morning, Mr. Bipali.
Good morning, how are you doing?
I'm fine, how are you?
Good, sir, how can we help you?
So, this is the thing. I'm a Cuban national, Spanish resident, and I wonder if I have to apply for a visa if I want to visit the UK after Brexit.
Okay, some countries do, some don't. We don't. They've given us no information on post-Brexit travel into the UK. But you say you're a resident here. The ones that really, you're a Cuban, the ones that have an easier entry into the UK, you're probably going for the royal wedding, I presume. are the ones that are married to EU residents, and they've been given their residency card under what they call Article 10. So I don't know if you're in that position, but we cannot tell you what happens post-Brexit because they haven't told us about that, about travel for either EU nationals or yourself or anyone. The only thing we know is that, for example, UK nationals can enter and leave Spain on their passports. I'm not sure where that will be to or from. So there's going to be some interesting things.
We have to wait.
Yes, we have to wait for that. That's they've not got round to that. They're trying to agree before the exit or the transition period.
But don't worry, I will give Harry and Meghan a call and let them know that you did try to get to the wedding.
Yeah.
Look, don't feel bad if her father can't make it. Who's going to tell you off?
Thank you, as always, for your call. You have a great day. Cheers, all righty, cheers, bye-bye. Okay, another caller. Good morning, you're live on TRE. Who's that?
It's Rosemary.
Hi, Rosemary, how can we help you?
I'm now an Irish citizen because of all this business.
So, in other words, you became an Irish citizen because of it?
Yes.
Interesting, okay.
Well, no, but it's easy. Everybody's doing it.
Everybody's doing it, okay, did you give this some thought? Did you read anything about this on our website?
No, I haven't.
Have you already...
What I wanted to ask you is, does it mean that I have to change my NIE, that go to the notary, change the papers on my house and everything, so I'm European and not British?
Oh.
Well, this is, we did try and ask people to wait until we had more news before they changed citizenship. When you change your status, marital status, nationality status, you should contact the Policía Nacional to let them know. Now, what we don't know, and maybe if you do it and you'd like to let us know, is whether they will just change your nationality on there, whether they will just... though we don't have nationality in the database, they will do something, or whether they will ask you to apply again.
Or I guess not, like I'm a newborn baby or something.
You may have to be the newborn baby. We'd like to know, will they make you apply again? Let's hope not. Let's hope they're just going to change you over.
Interesting.
But you should. It's your obligation to let them know if you're change of status. Because you may have become a non-EU. You may have taken up African nationality, or South African or something. So you should let them know, and please do give us some feedback on what they say to you, because it's something they're not going to be very prepared for.
But who is they?
The Policía Nacional, the Foreigners Office at the Policía Nacional.
No, but they're...
Don't say anything, we know.
Well, let us know how you get on, and we'll see you on St. Paddy's Day. We'll buy you a Guinness on St. Paddy's Day. Good morning, you're live on TRE with another caller. Hi, how can we help you?
How you say empadronado, and having an NIE does not mean you have residency.
If you're just talking about the white NIE certificate, not the green, either A4 size or the smaller card size, then you're not a resident. An NIE means a number of identification of a foreigner. That will be on your residence certificate. So a lot of people think they're not residents. They've just got a NIE because this is also called a NIE by the authorities here at times. Is your paper green or white?
It's an A4 green, and I do have a number.
Are a resident. And depending when it was issued, you could even be a permanent resident. I'm going to go on to that next.
But for those people who, when they first got here, went to get the NIE and went on the padron, but have not applied for residence yet, then yes. They're not resident.
No.
So you can have both those documents and not be resident.
Yes, exactly, because you're entitled to be on the padron. And that's why on the checklist it says permanent residence. Check that this status is written into your certificate, either the small or the large one. Again, this is what somebody did and they were told to wait post-Brexit, but doesn't alter the fact. You are still a permanent resident, whether you have that written in on your certificate or not, but it may make it easier for the chap down at the foreigner's office.
But you're definitely resident in your case, I think is what we're
yes,
saying?
Yes, 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 you are.
Right, the thing is, we used to have, I've been here 45 years, we used to have a residence card.
That's right.
When we had the NIE.
They're giving Spain, if they're given the option to give us a new status, they're already talking. That's quite clear in the agreement about a digital certificate, so we're presuming it's going to be a card again, should this happen.
But but in your case, you are a resident, but in other people's cases, they may not be if they simply have a NIE and are on the padron. I think that's the simple answer to that one.
Yes.
Okay, we have another caller. Morning, you're live on TRE.
Good morning.
Hiya.
I have one of these large green horrible certificates that says that I was registered from 2009, but I actually started my in those days, permanentia, in 1977.
Blimey.
So in those days, you had to have, every 3 months, you had to go to the police and have a permanentia, and at the end of the three blocks, then you could have a residencia if you had a job.
Oh.
And I got my residencia in 1978. After those three permanencias. But now on this green certificate says that I've registered as a resident since 2009.
Yes.
Which is when I got that certificate.
Yeah, which is very unfair because you're in the database and you're not the first one. We've seen this in many cases where they've said that somebody's registered from 2007 when they've actually been a resident way before and they should have taken that into consideration. But you're a permanent resident, so don't worry about it.
So it's a permanent resident.
Yes, you're a permanent, and it should say on your certificate. Did they actually add on there and say residente permanente de la Comunidad Europea or something like that? Did they actually put that on your A4 certificate?
I'm going to have a quick look.
Yeah, interesting.
Because I really don't know. I never thought about it. And what I wondered was how long these last, you know?
There's no expiry date. Some places, Fuengirola Police Station, goodness help us, and there's an English translator there. Benidorm is saying 5 years. What they're doing is confusing the law from non-residents, which spouses of EU, non-EU, spouses of EU residents have to renew after 5 years,
right.
And then they'll get a 10-year document. But it's not for EU nationals. And you can update if you wish, which is also proving difficulty. This is what I worry about.
Mm.
It's not what's going to happen to us. It's how the administrative officers are going to treat this, especially when, if we're all there, you know, not going to be happy with us, are they? All of us turning up, making big queues and asking for whatever.
No, it does not say permanent residence.
Well, you see, you should really go back and say, not only have you put the wrong date, it doesn't matter, you still are a permanent. But why didn't they put that when it was obvious and it's their obligation to do so?
Yeah. Of course, when you get it, you don't really know. Do you?
No, you trust.
And I used to have an identity card.
Yes, I mean, you're permanent resident. And, of course, you had to go through three different things. A lot of people are saying, oh, it was all okay before the EU. But look what you had to do.
Well, as I say, I mean, we had permanencia, then residencia. But before you could get a job, you had to have you had to have references and get the police that you had no police record. There was all sorts of stuff.
And also, that was before Spain was in the EU and
before we
we may have been, but also when you couldn't open a business unless you had a Spanish partner.
Exactly.
Wow.
And, yeah, no, it was very complicated. And also,
I think you should go back to those days.
So you recommend I go back?
No, yeah, well, I do, yes. And please come on to Citizens Advice and let us know what they say to you.
Okay.
You've got 2 points to make there. Why not? Get it cleared up.
Yes.
You go for it, Janet. You tell them.
Yes,
I will. Don't worry.
Firm but polite. With
you show them your
smile.
Tattoos. That'll scare them.
Yeah. Oh, excuse me. I'm going to have Fulham tattoos on my shoulder.
Have a good weekend. Thanks, Nicole. Right. You got about a minute, Myra. What do
goodness.
We need
so
desperately to talk about?
Yeah. Make sure you're on the Padrón. I'll just go through a list.
Yep.
Residents, make sure you're on the Padrón because a lot of residents are not on the Padrón.
Yep.
Lost residency certificates. Quite a lot of people out
That's
there.
That's lost as opposed to loss residency.
Loss.
Sorry, one of your organisations.
Lost certificates.
Yes.
Apply for a duplicate
okay.
now, please.
Okay.
Not legal resident, but residing here, register on the Padrón, please, because we have something up our sleeve in case you don't get round to doing your residency. We're not here to judge. Please come forward, and
right.
we've got something up our sleeve to help you.
Interesting.
If you're settled here with your children,
but go on the Padrón, whatever.
Go on the yep. Padrón, please.
Yep.
Residing here, working, have healthcare, fiscal residence. Again, you said, this is the people you mentioned, apply for residency.
Yeah.
Just because, like, somebody who posted that 20 years or 30 years here, make sure your health cover is in order and current. A lot of people think they are, and they're not, their health cover.
And doesn't have a co-payment involved.
Yeah, but no, this is not for applying. This
okay.
is for people that are living here. Make sure,
okay.
because some people would have stopped being autonomous, stopped working, and they haven't checked.
I see.
Pre-April 2012 and legally resident. If you have not done so, apply for free healthcare now, please.
Mm-hmm.
No healthcare, no residency. Check if you're entitled to the NHS paying system.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that might help you get residency afterwards. If not done already, legalise your business, Mr. Joe, Bob the Builder, with your UK or whatever registered car. Please legalise your business, especially as you're working. Unemployed, continue to sign on as a job seeker. That gives you your healthcare. It gives you more than that. It gives you rights to be here.
Okay.
Otherwise, you're one of those people that, you know, oh God, they're on, you know, they haven't got a job.
Yep.
Left employment, no longer autonomous. Make sure your health care is covered. Pensioners dependent on partner for S1. If 65 or over, apply for your own S1. Otherwise, you're not going to be covered.
Okay.
Residents, are you? You've resided, but you've actually done your residency, but your children are not. This is very common. Please get residency for your children.
Okay.
Habitual residents using EHIC, seek alternative health care. Become fiscal residents even if exempt by presenting tax declaration this year before July.
A lot of stuff, but that's all on your website.
It's not actually, I'll put it on there.
You're going to put it on there.
We'll put this
we'll put the program on for
there.
People to have a listen, as
yes.
always. If you haven't heard it today or missed a little bit of it, then you can get it on our own website, TRE.ready, or on the Citizens Advice Bureau
and
website.
And all this helps you, whether we Brexit or not.
Absolutely.
It's something you need.
Myra, you're a star. We'll run out of time. We will see you in a couple of weeks' time. Have a nice weekend.
Everybody too.
All righty.